Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time again for another episode of OC Spotlight. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you the most amazing people doing the most incredible things, either living in our own backyard or coming through our own backyard. And that's the case with our next guest here. Welcome, if you will, and I hope I'm going to say this correctly. It's not pronounced the way it's spelled, so I may fumble to get, but it's a Charlie Palkin. Did I get close here?
That's close. Yeah.
That's close enough. That's close enough for a... Well, this is a guy who knows about getting close. Getting close and dirty and down and ragged and running over everything he can find. Because we have with us today one of the world-famous monster truck drivers. Welcome, Charlie.
Glad to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
When you were a kid, did you ever think that's how people would refer to you, as a world champion monster truck driver?
I never in my wildest dreams had ever thought that this would be a career of mine, and it would take me to so many places and meet so many great people. Yeah, it's just been a dream job for me. You know, it takes me back to playing in the sandbox. You know, it's like you build stuff in the sandbox.
That's the appeal of it, isn't it? We pulled out these big, for me, it was Tonka trucks and playing in the sandbox when I was a kid. And
yeah.
I was doing the same with my grandkids. What did you do before, and how did you stumble into the world-class monster truck circuit, if that's what it's called?
Basically, you know, I was that kid that always, I had, you know, go-karts or mini bikes, and I was always wrenching on the stuff, fixing things. But anything with a motor and wheels, that was me. So, and it progressed on to motorcycles and 4x4s, quads and such. And there was a couple guys actually in town that were building a truck in their backyard, of all things.
Their backyard? And just like as a dream come true, or just to see what it would do?
Yeah, no, they both had big street trucks, and they'd gone to a show and saw Bigfoot, and they said, we can do this. You know, we could do this. They both had lifted trucks, and they were like, we could do this.
Yeah.
And so they basically joined forces, and they started doing this. And it was a little one-car garage, and they wheeled the parts out from this one-car garage and started building it in their backyard.
And this is where, in Ohio, where you live now, or some other place?
Yeah, this was in Maumee, Ohio, a little, nice little town. And I would actually, when they first started doing this, mind you, I had a paper out, and I would ride by their... right by their house.
And watch the progress of this thing and as they put it together here, huh?
Yeah. And I would come help my brother at our family's welding shop, Mitch's Welding. And so they would come over and, you know, get some stuff done and whatnot. And I just kept watching the progress. And finally they got it done and they started taking it on the road. And they both had regular jobs. So they're kind of alternating back and forth on weekends taking this out. And they'd take people with them. And finally, the guy didn't have anybody going. He's like, hey, you want to go with me to Richmond, Virginia? It's like, yeah, I'll go.
Sure.
I'll help you out. It's like, this is cool. I went there, helped out. I watched the show. I videoed for him. You know, back then we could video and stuff. And I was just amazed. These guys came from motocross. So they knew about suspension. They knew about motors. They were pretty far advanced for back then.
Yeah.
And this guy lined up to the car. He backed up, backing up. I'm like, what the heck is he doing? He's backing up further back. And what, like, he's not really going to hit him from that far back.
Yes, he is. He's going to crush it. He's going to pop it. He's going to bang into something.
Yeah. He floored it and hit the cars and cleared four cars. I was like, and I just, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, my, you know, the crowd went wild. It was like, they had never seen anything like this. After that, I was like, I got goosebumps right now because it was. It was that, like, man, if you guys need, I'll go anytime, anywhere.
Anywhere, I'm in. I'm your guy.
I'm in. I'm up to be a part of this.
And this was what? I'm told 30 years ago?
Like 35 years ago.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I didn't know it's been going on that long. I'm in my mid-60s. When I was a kid, I never saw anything like this. I mean, there was demolition derbies or other crazy things, but not a lot of this stuff where they just took stuff out and just ran it hard and just smashed it up, you know.
Yeah, well, what happened is, you know, early on, it was just a matter of, you know, there weren't that many trucks out, so they were just doing exhibition crushes, you know, just crushing, you know, over cars. And then once you had a couple of these trucks at a show, then it's like, oh, yeah, we got a race thing. Let's race them over cars.
And we'll challenge them, and we'll see if you can do this. It's almost like a, maybe a gunfight is the wrong thing here, but it's kind of got this image of, okay, you think you're fast? Watch me. I'm faster.
Right. Watch this. I'm, you know, come on. You want to, let's line them up and see.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just, the sport progressed from there. And then you've got people going out and just, after the racing, they go out and say, hey, I want to just go out there and make a run. Dennis Anderson, Gravedigger, was well known for it, where he goes, let me just, he would lose in racing or something like that. But then he'd go, hey, can I go out there and just, I just want to make a exhibition run.
I just want to spin it. I want to see if I can flip it. I want to do some crazy thing here. Yeah.
Something crazy so he could sell T-shirts. And he would end up wrecking the truck, but sell more in T-shirts.
Yes.
That paid for the to fix it and above, you know. So it was like he had a system down and he figured it out and ran with it.
And I hate to say it, but that's the one I usually root for when I've gone a few times here. I don't know why. Although I've seen Monster Mutt with the big floppy ears. That's a pretty cool one too. But something about Gravedigger, I don't know. That one just, maybe it's because it is, that's probably the first one I ever heard.
Well, yeah. In my 35 years of driving, I've driven a Gravedigger truck for 22 years.
Ah, okay.
And,
all right.
And
you're winning me over here. All right.
So I ended up working for these two guys with this truck in Maumee, Ohio, called Excalibur. And so I actually worked for them for 7 years. And then from there, bought the truck with a partner, and we ran another 4 years. Sold the Excalibur off. And actually, that's when the main company came in and asked me to drive one of the Gravedigger trucks.
Yeah.
In that time, I've driven, there's over 20 different trucks I've driven for the company. I've driven Taz, Spider-Man, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, Batman.
And I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but I mean, it's not big-time wrestling. So, I mean, you really are going out and competing and seeing who can do it. It's not like it's pre-scripted, I don't think, who wins and who loses and stuff here.
And the great thing is you can't predict what's going to happen with a truck all the time. And you don't know what's going to break, and you don't know, you know, there's too many variables and everything. You don't know how the dirt is. You don't know how the ramp's set up. As well as you could try and pre-script something, there's no way. You can't make.
What struck me about it, I've been a few times now, always here in Orange County. And first time, I got to be honest, I thought, okay, I mean, I like cars and I like trucks. I'm a guy. I grew up in that era. I grew up in Detroit and Motown and stuff. Everybody's dad worked in a factory or for the company or something here. So I grew up around that kind of stuff. But I kind of thought, okay, so you see him do it once. No, I mean, it is amazing. And it builds, particularly as not just the competition, but they're trying to see if they can, almost like you guys are trying to see if you can outdo each other. You're performing for each other as much as you are for, okay, you think you're tough today? Watch me do this. Wow. Okay. All right. Then I got to do this. I got to do one better here.
I sit back in the truck and I just sit back and watch other drivers and I go, all right, he did this. He rode the wheelie. Now, if he would have just stayed on the gas a little longer, he could have rode that thing into the next set and wheelied over that. Yeah, I'm constantly thinking. I'm sitting there, I'm dissecting their run and going, all
what
right,
can I do?
Where, how can I critique this? How can I outdo him? Yeah.
So I got to say, I was amazed at how it built and how we all got cut. And it's in a stadium. I mean, there's 50,000 people, 20,000, 30,000, whatever. There's a bunch of people just going berserk. And yeah, there's some time in between while they're setting it up and getting it running and stuff here. So it's sort of like I've been to hot rod races and stuff before. There's a moment of excitement, and then they set the next one up. I was amazed at how much you guys hold the crowd and really perform with what I wouldn't think would be a very nimble thing, a giant how do you describe a monster truck? Well, it's just a huge truck with huge wheels and a huge engine.
12,000 pounds, 1,500 horsepower.
Oh, 1,500 horsepower. What's a normal car, like a 200 horsepower? Or
right, about 200. Yeah, this is blown alcohol injected. It's basically a dragster motor. And
they're loud like that. I mean, I'm glad I did bring whatever ear protection things.
Ear protection,
stuff,
sure.
Because it is like going to a hot rod race. It's like going to one of the we used to have the Winter Nationals and stuff out here where they would, and maybe they still do in Southern California, where they come out and race these rail dragsters and stuff here. And it's loud. It is really loud.
Yeah, it's where you actually feel the power. It's like you don't just hear it, you feel it.
That's a good way to put it. You do feel it. So what hooked me was I went once and I took my grandson. Now he's five at that time. Now he's like
perfect.
Eight. And he went berserk because he loved trucks, and I was always trying to get him to play with trucks and stuff. I don't know why that's a guy thing, particularly of my era. You know, let's go get some trucks and run them in the dirt here. And then I've tried to, you know, I can see him doing dirt bikes as he go older and stuff here. But he just went berserk.
Yeah.
To him, you guys are superheroes. It's no different. It might as well be Thor and Iron Man and Superman and Spider-Man out there.
That's the biggest joy for me. That's one of my lines I always say. It's like the 5-year-old is our biggest fan, and to put a smile on their face is just priceless.
Yeah.
And that's just it.
I mean, we're in our 60s, so my daughter's 30, and my wife was married before, so she has this grown daughter who's, like, I think she was like 40 at the time. So she came along. She was out visiting. She went crazy. Maybe it's because you watched the little kids go crazy. And I'm like, you're going, these girls? This isn't just a bunch of gearhead guys and stuff. There's a bunch of those there. But this is really, I was surprised at the full family range of this thing here, from grandpa to grandson and everything in between.
It's a great family show. You can't beat it. And, I mean, we have female drivers, too. Caleb Blood.
Yeah. Dare I say badass on the radio here? There are some badass women out there pushing these cars around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's fearless. It's like I sit back and watch her run. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like, are you kidding? Yeah, she has no fear. I'm like, even I cringe when I watch her drive.
So here's what really surprises me about you guys. The same thing that struck me when I've gone to the hot rod stuff. The Winter Nationals, what do they call them, rail dragsters or something.
Yeah.
They blow these things up, and they got to be expensive as hell to fix. I blow them to hell and back. I mean, you push these things way beyond their limits. The motors blow. The transmissions blow. The forks drove. Everything blows on these things, and they keep going until they can't just shred it. And I think that was fun, and I get why people got it, but I hate to be the owner and have to go back and fix the darn thing. How many motors you go through? How many transmissions and clutches?
That's just it. Yeah, it's never ending because you're always breaking something. I mean, you're taking a 12,000-pound machine and you're throwing it, you know, 30 feet, 40 feet up in the air and dropping this thing. You know, something's going to give. Sooner or later,
no matter how tough you build them.
Get fatigued, so you're going to break housings, you know, axle housings, axle shafts.
Yeah, what's the wildest thing people do? I'm amazed how they get them to stand up and almost walk them. And so flip them sometimes, occasionally, because you go up on the wall and you go up and over you. Sometimes they get these things to actually flip. That's rare, but when they do it, the crowd goes berserk.
It's pretty amazing what we're doing. It's like when stuff started happening, I'm like, even I was like sitting back going, oh my gosh, it's like, look what we're doing with these things now. It's like before we were just crawling over cars.
That's what I originally thought. They were just going to be big and they're going to crush things and that's going to be cool, but that's okay. I've seen it. Yeah.
And now we're tripping them up on the front tires, doing moonwalks with them is what we call them.
Yeah.
You know, when I have the dog up on the nose, I tell him, I say I'm rubbing his nose in the dirt. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, right.
Or slapping it up on the back, doing a wheelie, and I'll wave out the windows, and I'll say I'm walking the dog.
So is it pushing the envelope? Are people still has everything been invented that can be done, or are people still trying to come up with moves or combination of moves or things that people go, wow, I never thought of that. I didn't know you could get up on one wheel. Yeah.
we're still kind of pushing the edge on it. Last week, I actually told my crew guy, my technician guy, I go, all right, I'm going to try this. I said,
I don't know if it'll work, but I'm going to try it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I said, I'm going to get it up on the nose. And while I'm up on the nose on the front tires, I'm going to rock the front steering back and forth and try and get the tail to wag.
Wow. The tail, wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, wag the dog over the thing.
While he's up on his nose. And
did it work? Did you do it?
It worked, but it wasn't as
dramatic. It didn't quite get it down.
Yeah. I mean, I would have to really throw it back and forth to really get people to notice it. No, it's being creative, being inventive, and trying to do different things. And that's a great thing. It's like it's still advancing, and I just can't believe how far we've come in 30. I mean, from
I couldn't believe what you guys are getting these monster trucks to do. I mean, up on two wheels, walking them literally like it looks like they're walking, flipping them. I don't know how you flip something. You literally have to go up on a wall, I guess, and get it going fast enough, and then somehow build enough momentum to actually flip it over.
Yeah, it's basically coming up against a container.
driving up the side of the wall until it flips over. Yeah.
You're just matting it, and kind of the technique is you wait until it starts rotating around, and once you see the ground, then you tap the brake because you've rotated enough. So you hope that it'll. Yeah.
And, well, I'm going to take my car out this week and see if I can. No, probably not. I don't think I'm going to do that. That's the joy. You get to see people do stuff that you couldn't imagine ever doing in a million years. And yes, it's safe and contained. And because you guys are definitely in fire suits and all the rest of this stuff here. Is it dangerous? Sometimes people must get hurt, but it seems like you guys have got it pretty dialed in and pretty safe.
Yeah, I'm in one of the safest places I could be. I mean, I'd much rather be in there than out driving on, you know,
because people are flipping cars and they didn't mean to flip the car, and it's not supposed to be flipped. Well, I'm amazed at this whole thing. So it's coming up in Anaheim here. Let's give it a plug because I'll be there. Wait, this time I got to be rooting for Monster Mutt here. Okay, I guess I can't just root for the Gravedigger here. My grandson, he likes El Toro for some reason. I think that's because
El Toro Loco, yes.
He thinks that one's a crazy. Maybe that's just because that's Southern California. We're all a little El Toro Loco here.
The crazy bull, yes.
But let's see, when are the dates again here? I had it right up in front of me, and I think I lost it here. Oh, it's Anaheim. It's at Anaheim Stadium, Angel Stadium here. Everybody knows where that is in Orange County. February 19th through the 20th, so you're there for 2 days. And then I think you come back the next weekend. You're there for 2 weekends, I believe, 26th, 26th.
Correct.
Saturday,
26th.
Saturday,
that's
Sunday.
Awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
And people can buy tickets where? MonsterJam.com. I think that's it. MonsterJam.
Everything on there you'd ever want to know.
Here's what surprised me after I took my grandson. We came out. Of course, there's Monster Jam trucks and toys. And I knew there'd be T-shirts and stuff. So, yeah, you suckered me into another $100 worth of stuff here. Just because I wanted to see these things flip over.
Yeah, you got to take part of the show home with you.
Oh, absolutely. And then I thought, well, okay, at least I'm safe. Then the next weekend we're at, I don't know, pick Target or someplace like that. And there's monster trucks. I thought, oh, man, let's get another one, Grandpa. And So, I think we got a whole collection. And they come the little ones and the bigger ones. And there's radio-controlled ones. And you guys have got a whole industry going here. There is a whole line of toys for those that don't know. I have a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old. There is a whole bunch of, there's the superhero stuff, and there's the Star Wars, and there's the Marvel universe, and there's the Monster Jam universe, and all of them have these amazing characters and toys and backstories and stuff to them here. So who's a Monster Mutt? Who goes for the Monster Mutt? Is there a certain type of personality that comes out and roots for you as opposed to El Toro Loco or one of these other crazy guys?
A lot of people can relate to dogs. Or, you know, most people like dogs,
right?
And most people have a mutt or know of a mutt. I mean, I have one here at my house. I've got two dogs, and one is a mutt. We got him from the Humane Society.
Sure.
And he's a character. He's just a character. He chased cats and anything else he can find.
Have you tried different names? Because I think that's the genius. I think there are certain names. I won't name some of the other names because some of them I go, okay. That one doesn't wow me. But Gravedigger, maybe because I've seen it around, that has kind of that, you know, eerie, like the, what wasn't there, the Undertaker in world wrestling and stuff. There has that kind of aura to it. El Toro Loco, I don't know why that we have so many, El Pollo Loco and everything else here. We have so many things. We're in Hispanic culture here, so that appeals to us. And Monster Mutt kind of grabbed me. I got to say, it's cute.
Yeah.
So have you tried other names, or are there other things that you wish you could come up with? It must be a hard quest to come up with the name, because the name of the look of the truck has a lot to do with it, and then it's the driver, of course, too. But
definitely. I like driving different trucks because you can bring the character out then. You know, like driving the Monster Mutt, you can go out there and jump on the throttle back and forth.
Rub his nose in it, wag his tail, do other sorts of things.
Make it jump around like it's wagging its tail and act like a dog. And it's like, although it's a 1,500 horsepower,
dog.
12,000 pound monster truck jumping around. It's like,
well, you guys are onto something here. It must be a blast. So you travel around the country, and do you actually win prizes? Do you actually compete with each other? Is it just all kind of a show, and they just hire you to do this?
It's actually more of a show.
They hire you guys to come out and run with your trucks, and they pay a certain amount, or you guys, I don't know how, you don't have to go into how you all make money, but somehow it's more of a show, because they advertise it as a circuit, and there's winners and losers, and I always wonder if you get points and stuff.
There are incentives, yes.
The more you get, the more you
we'll put it that way. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So there is something reason you're all trying to outdo each other. But it, you, more than anything, it seems like you guys are trying to one-up each other and wind up the crowd. I don't know if it's more for you guys or for us, but there's some little mano a mano challenge going on here. Okay, you think you're bad. All right, I got to do this then. All right, if that's what you're going to do, then I got to go one more here.
Now do your buddy and anything they do. Yeah, it's like you think you're bad. Watch this.
And some of them just smash right up. I've been a couple of times, and some of the poor trucks, boy, they just right away, they're dead. They're gone.
Yeah. It's easy to mess up and cause,
And they drag them off. Can you fix them that fast? Some of them, it seems like you're just trying to throw it together and get it back out there again.
Right. Well, yeah. We've got some great technicians and a bunch of spare parts we bring. So a lot of times things can be fixed pretty fast. I mean, if we blow a transmission or something like that, they can drag us out back. And
do you know how long it would take me to replace a transmission if I knew how to do it? I mean, it's not something I could just throw, but it's like at the races of any of these things, or rail cars or funny cars or all this stuff, they blow this stuff all the time, and I guess they have these super mechanics that can just, all right, here we go.
These guys can do it in about 15 minutes.
Wow.
Change the transmission out.
Wow, that's incredible. Is it more modular? I mean, it must be the way you make these things too, a little bit.
You definitely make it so it's accessible and
gets out quickly here. Well, nobody gets in and gets out quickly. I didn't see anybody walking out. You're there for the day. It goes on for what, a couple hours or something? It seems like.
Oh yeah. You definitely get a good 2-hour solid show. And what's great is we do racing. From there, we go on to what's called two-wheel skill, where that's where you can pop them up on the nose or try and bicycle it on the side.
Yeah, bicycle it up on two wheels, and then on the other side, two on the left side, the right side, and everything. There.
Yeah, and then from there, we go on to freestyle.
And you got all these mounds of dirt that you make that you can use to flip and things you run. I don't know, it looks like railroad or shipping containers or something. You run into stuff.
Yeah, shipping containers out there. I compare it to, it's the sandbox. It's a big sandbox for a kid. I'm just a big kid out there playing in the sandbox.
Well, we love watching you play. All right. Well, anybody watching or listening to this, please check it out. Anaheim, if you haven't been, you got to go at least once. And I swear if you go once, you'll go again. It's Monster Jam. It's coming through town again here, Anaheim Stadium. 19th through the 20th, and the 26th or 27th. Did you guys have to go down for a while because of COVID? Is this back again after a hiatus, or did you all find a way to keep going even when?
I was down for a year and a half, so I was out.
All the stuff, right? We can't get together.
Everything was canceled, so I was going crazy, and So I'm just glad to be back. Glad to be out there.
So in that time, did you come up with some more secrets, some more crazy tricks, some more tweaks to the machine that we're going to come and see? Is there something special? The mad scientist has been tinkering for a year here now.
So in the downtime, my son and I came up I'm old school. So all these younger kids were getting down where they were tripping them up on the nose and doing these moonwalks. I'm like, man,
I never
tried that.
Didn't know you could do that.
So I was like, we've got to build something that I can practice this in. We have to build a simulator, basically.
Yeah, all right.
And so we took a quad and put a roll cage on it and changed the steering around, put a
mini monster truck or something. A little
mini monster. I made the cockpit exactly like the monster truck, the shifter and the gas and the brake. I made it all identical to what the monster truck was. And that's what I actually practiced on, basically, in my side yard, dropping over a log and onto the nose and practicing, getting the balance.
I'll bet your neighbors love you. They're like, there he is again. Here, I wish that guy would move.
They're like, we love that. We love watching you. It's like,
Oh my God, this is making noise again here. Do you is this your full time gig, or do you still work in the family?
I still do some on the side, basically for 35 years, this is what I've done. I've been all over the world. It's just been great. Saudi Arabia,
South
Africa,
oh my God.
Australia, Sydney. Yeah, all over Europe.
Who would think that they would go? I guess they go crazy for trucks everywhere. Trucks are universal here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the circus coming to town for the first time. A lot of places have never seen it. They've seen us on TV. When we went to Australia, it's like for the first time, it was like, they knew exactly. They, I mean, kids running up, Charlie Parker, and like,
yeah,
wow. It's like, they know exactly who we are. They know exactly.
Now, did you have to drive on the other side of the ramp or other side of the road? No, probably not. You could still do whatever you want to do.
That is very confusing. Which way to look?
Well, that is the key. I did a couple of times in England. Every time I'm pulling out, I'm looking the wrong way. And like, no, the car's coming from over there, not this side, now here. Well, if you want to see what it looks like, go to monsterjam.com. Check it out. There's some incredible, I'm just looking at right now, really wild videos that give you some sense of what these machines look like and what they do with them. It is incredible. It brings out the kid and everybody, from grandpa to grandson and everybody in between, mom, dads, everybody. You would think, oh, man, I don't know if this is for me. Trust me, it's for you.
It's for you. It's a great family show. You can't beat it.
It really is. Anaheim Stadium, February 19th through the 20th, and then the following weekend, 26th through the 27th. I think tickets are going fast. Usually, I think on the Sundays it's in the afternoon, and on Saturday it's more at night. So you got two different choices to go here. Well, I hope we get a chance to come by. Because beforehand, if you get there early enough, or maybe you buy a special pit pass or something, you can go meet some of you guys too, right?
Yes. Yeah, you can get a pit pass and come by and take pictures beside the truck with the drivers.
So it's a whole experience. It isn't just the race. You get all that. Well, I look for OC Talk Radio there, folks. I hope we get a chance to get our photo with the Monster Mutt here himself. You know, who knows? We may start rooting for the Monster Mutt here.
There we go.
All right. Thank you, Charlie, for joining us, and best of luck in the upcoming circus event, the thing, whatever we call this. I'll look forward to seeing you there and every time you guys come through town. Thanks for joining us here today.
Awesome. Thank you. Hope to see you all there.
Okay. Well, that's it, folks. That's another reason why you've got to check in and check out the one show that tells you what's going on here in town. You know it. OC Talk Radio's OC Spotlight. Right here as we broadcast from the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.